$10,000 feet, we have synopsis of the total budget allocations by fund. So this year, the budget is approximately $117 million. That is up from the current budget of approximately $112,600,000. An increase, you can see that, about $4.5 million. To offset that revenue stream, the revenue stream is up about $7.2 million. And then the final portion of the equation is the fund balance contributions. And as you will notice, there is a reduction in the fund balance contribution, and that is because for the existing budget, the 21 budget, based upon the New York State allocation, the board needed to use approximately $2.5 million of our sales tax reserve fund or our sales tax stabilization fund, which I'll get into more detail farther into the presentation. But when you add the three events together, revenues, expenses, less fund balances at the bottom of the page, you see that there is no increase to the overall tax levy at $27,404,000, which is the same levy value for the existing budget, and that is the same value for three consecutive years, not having an increase. The second page, this is the New York State page. This is the calculation. Everybody, I think, understands the terminology, tax cap legislation. This is a form put together by the state that basically outlines how much money the levy could be increased if you were to live within the cap, according to the overall details. But over here on the right-hand side of the page, if we were to follow the tax cap legislation and increase the budget levy to the maximum value, we would be able to increase the levy by this $1,300,000. That's if we were going to increase the levy. As I stated on page one, the levy is not increased at all from one fiscal year to the next. But this calculation page needs to be included in the budget for application. Page three then takes the levy and it breaks it down by the 14 towns across the county, each individual town having their own valuations, and therefore each town having a pro rata share of the overall levy. The far right-hand column represents the difference from one year to the next. This is a very unique page because of what's known as equalization rates. Therefore, this year, 11 of the 14 towns in the county will actually see a tax rate reduction in the county, and three towns will see a small increase. That mathematical change, these are the numbers here, are driven by these numbers here, which are the state established what's called equalization rates or market value. The lower the rate here set by the state, algebraically just converts them to a higher tax rate per thousand that your individual town need to pay for the overall levy to be collected at $27,309,000 for general operations, and a second line item of $95,000 for what's called the Batavia Kill, which is a special district within the county. Not to digress too far, these equalization rate numbers, I think, are going to change drastically in the next 24 months as the impact of the real estate history and real estate activity is collected. That rate then will become more detrimental to those towns that have long since had a townwide reassessment. The real estate market is obviously, as everybody knows, has been red hot of late, and that's going to further exacerbate those numbers over time. I don't mean to get into the weeds on that, but conversion is a conversion. The next page is just a little bit of the history of that same impact page. And again, the far right column in the shaded areas is the impact per year. As you can see, 3 years in a row where the levy has been unchanged, and then the previous 2 years where there were slight increases, always impacting each individual town differently as the equalization rates change per year. So as I said, this year, 11 towns will see a decrease in the rate. This existing year, 8 towns saw a reduction rate. And the prior to that was also 8 towns seeing a reduction rate to the overall budget and the collection of a levy within their respective town. Associated with that on the next page is the overall overall true value of all properties in the county. You can see the historical reference here from fiscal 13 on my left, and moving up to the existing rate with a fairly modest, or fairly, I shouldn't say modest, a healthy increase in assessed valuation from 1 year to the next. About a 7% increase from 1 year to the next, 20 to 21. That represents total value of all property within the county at its full value calculation, taking the assessments divided by the equalization rate to get full value. So we continue to have consistent valuation increases either with new construction or assessments changing on an annual basis. This pie chart is just, again, at 30,000 feet. It outlines, if you go back to page one, that $4 million increase in the appropriation level. These are some of the large, again, 30,000 foot level increases in the outlines. The solid waste operations, this is a little bit confusing. While expenses are up $800,000 in the operation, so are revenues, so it really becomes neutral to the budget calculation. That has to do with an expanded recycling program. Employee health insurance is up approximately $500,000. Employee retirement costs are also up about $500,000. And you can go down the line item here for the additional, just general categories. Again, this is meant to be at 30,000 feet. Personnel services, which is reference to payroll, driven by either labor contracts, or we do have a couple of new hires in the operations in the dispatch center, public defender's office, and economic development. So this is just kind of a summation page for you, just to outline, perhaps from a silo effect of the overall budget. The next page is just a simple bar graph of the 3 years, showing the outstanding for the total budget. As you see, 21, a combination of both COVID impact and the adopted 21 budget, as well as the impact of state aid cuts, where we had to reduce state aid by 20%. So the differences there are fairly flat between 20 and 21. Now the state has restored the state aid, which also allows programmatic expenses to increase, bringing you back to the $117 million proposed budget as we have tonight. Sales tax. As our budget officer, Mr. Martin, has pointed out in his letter of transmittal a couple weeks ago, the sales tax is probably the single largest change in this fiscal year. And unlike previous budget presentations, I'm going to spend some time on the sales tax. And forgive me, I'm going to get into the weeds a little bit, but I think you truly have to understand the impact that the sales tax has to the overall budget and is a revenue source that cannot be controlled by the county. It is going up again this year. For those of you who are aware of the Supreme Court decision called Wayfair, again, I'm getting into the weeds, That is a decision by the Supreme Court to apply sales taxes not from the shipping location, but from the receiving or your home, in other words. So even though you bought something out of Indiana, the sales tax was going to be applied because your address is here in Green County. That's a change in the calculation. And the result has been a large increase in receipts for the sales tax to the county, now again making the sales tax the single largest revenue that the county receives to offset the expenses that we have. And I don't need to bore you with details, but I think it's important for us to understand the tiny marks at the top of these two graphs here, these two bars. Out of our sales tax, we are required to pay the towns and villages the revenue that previously the state paid them. The state shifted it to the county last year. And then the second item is during COVID, there was a concern that healthcare institutions were going to be overwhelmed with expenses. So the state also dipped into county sales taxes to provide assistance to healthcare facilities, being hospitals. So those monies come out of our sales tax, otherwise you would have received that much more respectively in those 2 years, and those deductions will occur going forward. Now bear with me, we're going to get into the weeds. Turn to the next page, you'll notice that this is activity chart provided by the state. I'm going back somewhat arbitrarily to fiscal 13 and 14. And if you'll note the ranking here, look at the top five sectors of sales tax and where it's generated from. And again, read fiscals 13 and 14. Those top five traditionally have always been in the top five order, although their place in the top five may move. You might be number one year, number two next year, or number three, but the following year you move around. But consistently, those five have always been in the top five. Note the yellow highlight, electronic shopping, hence Wayfair. A very small amount listed at number 15 overall. But a scant 1.3% of the overall activity of sales tax collection. Now, if you just breeze through the next year's cycle, so now we go to 14, 15, you can see the top five are pretty much the same. Internet sales remain again at 15. Number 15, that is. Now we move to fiscal year 15, 16. Internet sales made a little jump. Now up to number 13. We can continue on. We remain at number 13 again for fiscal 16, 17, 17, 18. And I'll get my chart off here in a minute. 18, 19. Now, the Supreme Court decision was effective in the fourth quarter of 19. You turn it over then to 1920. Look at the jump that internet sales now has made, going from your 14, 15, 12 slot, now up to number 7. And then you turn it over one more page, and it has replaced the top 5. Monumental change in a very short period of time, and now you can see why that has been had such a positive impact on the overall budget. We are still waiting for the dust to settle on Wayfair, and I think that's important to understand. We use a variety of calculations or projections and modeling on the sales tax, and we need to understand the best we can because of its significance in the budget. So again, just kind of a summary, what is now the top five. And look at travel accommodations. Was number 6, I believe, historically. You think we're a tourist town. It's now dropped down to top 10. And you see the change over here on the right side column. Now I'm really going to ask you to put your seatbelts on. You turn to the next page. I just tried to go through some of the milestone events that have happened in the last 24 months and its impact on sales tax and why I have such concern until we get a settling of the sales tax calculation. Again, you had the Supreme Court decision in July or June of 19, and the effect of receipts commencing in the fourth quarter of 19. Of course, what happens in the end of 1920 is the pandemic strikes, and we get closures. The mall closes, restaurants go limited. Schools begin to close, people start to telecommute. Here's a fascinating number. New York City was very severely hurt by COVID, and New York State estimates that in 2020, that $250 million in sales tax left the city and was redistributed throughout the state as New Yorkers moved out of the city and either commuted or didn't work. That was a big change, particularly for a county like Green, that's so close to the city. And Green, by our last tabulation, 34% of our housing stock is a second home. Mm-hmm. So the question remains, where did they go during COVID? Did they come to Green in order to get out of the city? Then you follow down, there's our second home industry. There was a point in the spring, I believe it was last year, you couldn't buy lumber in the county. Here's everybody came up north and started reconditioning their second home. Then you have the onset of federal assistance, unemployment insurance. That started in the first and second quarter of 20, and then just expired in September of 21, putting millions of dollars into the economy, if not billions of dollars into the economy. But it's now expired. You also had the non-eviction clauses working on. As we move farther down the calendar, now you get into 21, the malls open up again. The climb of the sales tax in the top five. Now in 2021, New York City only has a displacement of $50 million throughout the county. So New York City is coming back. People are coming back in, and those sales are returning to New York City. Now this year, in the fourth quarter, you have inflationary factors coming in. I think gasoline is up over a dollar from where it was 15 months ago, which ironically increases the sales tax collection because the gas prices as a unit charge as commodity goes up. But then we have to fear that as discretionary spending gets tighter, will driving be reduced and therefore less tax collected anyways. You also have the new cars. If you saw on the top five, new car sales were either number one or number two consistently. Right now, the auto industry is pretty much closed. If you go by Lacey's and Sawyer's, you'll probably see 20% now floor stock, whereas before they had a 90-day storage of vehicles. Now I think they're down to 10 days, driven by the chip shortage. And as you've all been reading recently, there's a couple hundred intercoastal harbors in California, Long Beach, LA, all tied up with Christmas material. If that material does not get unloaded, the Christmas season is our highest producing sales tax segment. Will we see a reduction in our sales tax collection because of that supply chain phenomenon? So have we reached the plateau in the sales tax collection? We typically get a report every 2 weeks. The last two reports, the sales tax collection was equal to what it was in 21. But I have to wonder, how will that change? How will the economy affect us? You also have, as I show on the next page, as we look to the future, I mentioned gas prices going up and inflation. The Fed came out yesterday that they expect now inflation to continue high through the end of 2022. How will that affect sales? You also have an estimated 10 million jobs nationwide that are not being filled, and therefore paychecks not being issued, and discretionary spending, how does that affect it? Our economy is based upon consumer confidence. If
If you have 10 jobs open, is that less spending? COVID is still rearing its head with the breakthrough phenomenon. And now, of course, in Washington, the disarray is the debate on these two large stimulus packages that will pump trillions of dollars into the economy if it passes at whatever level, which will also drive inflation as it increases the money supply. New York City financial institution flight. We've all, I think, read it. Since companies were able to do business in Florida during the COVID, will they continue to do Florida? That redistribution. Holiday shopping. A sociologist will tell you that if you've changed your habit after 18 months, you will not go back to the old habit. How many shop at Christmas time only on the internet? Who goes to the mall? Okay? If that phenomenon continues, that will help our sales tax. But I wonder if people, after being holed up in the house for 18 months, is it going to be a day at the store and lunch, etc., and will shopping habits return? Interesting phenomenon, I guess. So all of that, how does that affect future operations? As I mentioned a minute ago, we are trying to develop a number of methodologies for projections of our sales tax this year. And our most recent modeling, we dropped $2.5 million in estimated receipts in the last 2 weeks. Is the sales tax still going to be higher than normal, what we've had in the last couple of years? Yes. I think Wayfair will not go away that dramatically. But again, when you turn this page, you see the level of sales tax and its importance to the overall budget. We need to watch it like a hawk. We need to understand it. And we need to be able to be prepared to amend our budget. So the next page, this board 2 years ago recognized that perhaps the volatility of sales tax. I will bring everybody back to the, I think everybody here is old enough to remember the 08, 09 financial crash that happened across the country. In 08, 09, this county saw a 10% reduction in sales tax receipts in that crash. So I think we have to be prepared. Economies always go in waves. If we rely too much on the sales tax and then we have an economy that crashes, we're going to have a reserve fund. So this bar graph is meant to show if our budget is $117 million and we use roughly $36 million in receipt estimates to withstand a 10% reduction in 1 year, that's $3.6 million. It took us 4 years to climb out of the 08-09 crash. So the goal here is to add monies every year to the sales tax reserve fund in order to withstand a five-year turndown in the economy, and that we would be in a position not to have to do draconian cuts to our appropriation levels. We'd be able to maintain our service levels for that period of time, under the theory that at the conclusion of 5 years, the economy has rebounded and we're back to normal collection. As of now, we have $7.5 million in the reserve fund. As we commence 22, that will increase at least to $10 million. And then thereafter, we will need to increase the reserve fund in order to have that flexibility to fall back on the reserves and not have to do drastic cuts to a budget. The last page is just, as I noted, the state aid, when they cut us 20% over 2020 and 2021, now they've restored that revenue almost to the same level. As you can see the numbers here, that is part of the reason why our revenues are up to $7 million between the return of sales tax, I'm sorry, the return of aid and the sales tax expansion leveling off to the new volume. Lastly, from a state of debt standpoint, it's interesting to note that in 22 we will reduce our outstanding debt by approximately $5 million with the retirement of four different bonds. That their maturity is attaining themselves in fiscal 22. We
45.7 to call it $41 million of outstanding debt. That is my prepared presentation at the moment. In summation, the levy is going to remain flat for another year. Sales tax has exploded. It is our new lifesaver. But we need to be very careful with it. We need to understand it. And we need to be prepared to withstand a reduction in receipts over the time. And I think the sales tax reserve fund or the stabilization fund will go a long way in providing that security for us so that we don't need to do the volume cuts for one fiscal year or next. With that, Chairman, those are my prepared remarks.
All right, thanks, Sean. As this is a public hearing, we'll open the floor to comments from the public, and I would ask that if you'd like to speak, please come down to the podium, speak into the microphone, and state your name so that we can get your name on the record. I would also ask that when you're recognized, please state for the record which part of the tentative budget you wish to speak to. This is a public hearing. It's not a question and answer period. It's for the legislature to hear comments from the public with regards to this tentative budget. However, if there are questions that you can answer, we will try to answer them for you. So with that, let's start the hearing. Is there anyone here this evening who wishes to be heard with regards to the tentative budget for Greene County for the year 2022?
Spring Street, Council of New York. I'd like to make comments on the entire budget, not necessarily a specific part of the budget. And then I'd like to enhance County Administrator's remarks and what he's looking at for the future of the county budget. First thing, I would ask that the county legislature put the 2019 audited financial statements on the website. Kind of hard to look at financial data when that's not on the website. You can get the information from the controller's office, which I did. Annual report is not on the website. It only goes to 2018. 2019, it's not there. 2020, obviously, I'm not sure whether that's what it is finished or not. So, you know, that's obviously not there. And regards to inflation, as we all know, your budget has already been reduced by at least 5% or 6% due to inflation, due to increase in inflation. And so I'm concerned that in your appropriated fund balance, which you're using for the general fund, and I'm speaking specifically to the general fund, I think you're using $3,500,000 or something like that. I don't recall. I have it here.
And you're right. $3,500,000.
Yeah, but you have unreserved fund balances, which are not being used, about $22 million. Oh, yes. Look at the controller's report, your financial statements for 2020. Maybe not that much, but you do have unallocated reserves.
In the general fund or alpha?
No, in the general fund. And you also have unallocated reserves in the machinery fund and the highway fund.
That's correct.
Which you're not using. No, you're using $400,000. You have more than that in those fund balances. pay for not using that. And I'm not sure why. Traditionally, you've been using $400,000 every year for since I was a county legislator, and that's 1984. That has not changed. So I know at one time the machinery fund and the highway fund was pretty bleak, but it looks like that fund has come back, at least to a reasonable standard. Your workman's comp fund has a negative balance.
Always does.
Yes. And that's not good.
It's an accounting measure.
I know. And one thing I'm more concerned about, and I would ask that the legislature take a real good look at the use of the COVID funds that you've received. I know that there are areas that you can use it for. There are only like three areas which you can't use it for.
Just to clarify, COVID funding?
Well, America Relief
Fund.
The relief fund.
The ARPA fund.
Right.
Thank you.
And my other question was, have you put in the budget monies for those public health workers, those EMTs, or any other workers that were involved with the COVID response? Have you put in the budget any bonuses for them or any extra pay? I saw in the public health line there is $28,000 sitting there for a special fund that was not there last year. I forget what it was called, but I don't have the budget right now, but if you went to public health, you'd see it. And, you know, I think that a lot of counties are using those monies to thank their public health workers and their workers who put their lives on the line. And it seems unfair that this county, who's receiving a bit of money, that they're not in turn using that money to at least help offset some of the costs that these employees have incurred. Long hours and family problems, maybe. So I would ask that the county legislature at least take a look at those monies and see if somehow you can support monies for those employees. I know that you can also use it for public sector revenues, for funding provided by government services. I don't think that Greene County had a negative fund balance. It looks like Greene County did not lose money during the COVID crisis, although in some areas I'm sure that you did. But I don't know whether you qualify based on the worksheet that the federal government gives you to work. You do. You do qualify. Well, you qualify anyway. It's just the percentage that you can use. You have to take a look at that. That's a nightmare trying to go through that worksheet. So good luck to Warren. And also, I would also ask the board to look at special programs for next year for COVID relief, vaccination programs, medical expenses. We're not out of this. We're not out of this problem yet. And if you don't address it with a special unit or a special type of service to help mitigate this disease, then we're going to be back in the same place we were last year or earlier this year. You have mental health issues related to COVID. I would ask that you look at that. And crisis intervention, you're receiving, at least tentatively, you may receive monies for opiate crisis. And I think it would be nice if you looked at the I also would like you to reduce your tax levy. Not a lot. For the reason that there are a lot of senior citizens out there, a lot of restaurant businesses, a lot of people who have suffered through the COVID crisis, have lost revenue, can't make any more revenue, can't generate workers. So in essence, if you ask them to pay more in property taxes, that's just going to put all those businesses back in the back further. And I know that, I'm sure that you have projects, or maybe individuals who have requested COVID relief money that can be used for that purpose. And so I only ask that you take another hard look at the budget and please think about those individuals who are on fixed income, who have lost business, and who are now being hurt by gas prices and other items, to look at maybe reducing the budget a little bit more. I noticed that in Ulster County, and a couple of counties, they reduced their tax rate by over 10%. I'm not sure how that happened, but maybe they had a bigger reserve. But anyway,
they had a bigger government
they didn't need. So anyway, public health, business environment, citizens who are going to have lack of income because of the inflation and gas prices, and just the general overall tax purposes. I know that the town Catskills is looking at a small tax increase or some sort of tax increase, and I think that's incorrect. But anyway, I'll stop talking. I thank you very much for listening to me, and I know you have a lot on your plate coming up, and I wish that you think carefully about how you're using these monies from the federal government. Stimulus money and this new government program is not going to help. It's just going to cause more problems. Thank you very much.
So would like to speak in reference to the tentative 2022 budget. No one? Going once? Going twice? Going three times? Okay. Well, as everyone's done speaking, then thank you for attending the public hearing, and I will now close the hearing. Thank you.